Methodist wins and Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the ball.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello everybody and welcome to Rebellion Radio episode number 34 for May 12th, 2013. My name is Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And welcome back everybody. Not only am I welcoming back my two dear friends Alex and April, but welcoming back the listeners as we have been on a long lull, as it were. And we greatly apologize, but truly things have just been absolutely wild. Let's just go around and say, like, you know, how have we been doing? Like, so I recently got elected as ASB president.
Yay! And congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I have been in my school's production of Hairspray, which I'd recommend you guys see, except by the time that this episode is out, we just finished. But I'm sure we did a terrific job on our last couple of nights. I know we kicked major butt in our last couple of performances.
And is it going to be on YouTube?
Fun fact about being in musicals, in case you're not theatrically inclined, they suck all the social life out of you. I have barely been home in the past 3 months, because this show has required so much blocking I could talk about for hours, but we are not here for Hairspray. We are here for another H word, The Hunger Games.
Nice. April, what's going on in your life?
I don't know. Nothing really, I guess. Prom's next week. That's fun.
Hey!
Yay! Junior prom! Woo!
That's fun, yeah. No, but as you can see, our lives have been crazier than usual, and we do greatly apologize for the lack of episodes in the recent months. We have one announcement before we get into our main discussion, which is our shows will now be moving to a different schedule. They will be moving to a monthly time frame. And the reasoning behind this, I think you kind of heard a little bit of it just now, but us, we're getting busier and busier as time moves on. It's not like this was just a, you know, one-time thing. Our schedules are getting busier, and even the two-week schedule, I remember back last year when the movies were cut, like in the first movie came out, that's not an easy schedule to keep up, because, you know, especially when you're editing it, it's pretty much record, edit, record, edit, record, edit, constantly. So it would be ridiculous to try to keep that up now, so we're just going to move to monthly, and hopefully that'll help us to remain on track with getting episodes out on a timely fashion. But enough of that, let's get into the real deal, what everyone's waiting for. The Catching Fire trailer has been released!
Woo!
Yay!
That only happened a few months ago.
Woo!
About a month ago.
Only a few weeks ago, so that aired at the MTV Movie Awards. I don't know why Hunger Games is so affiliated with MTV. I mean, it's so on MTV.
It's not. Like, everything is on MTV. Twilight was on MTV, a bunch of other
yeah,
movies.
Like, and Hunger Games, I feel like every single thing goes through that. Like, all the main articles and all the, you know, interviews. But that's not the point. First trailer, let us listen to the audio right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the victors of the 74th Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen and Peter Mallark.
She's not who they think she is. She just wants to save her skin. Simple as that. She has become a beacon of hope for them. So she has to be eliminated. What do you think?
I agree she should die, but in the right way, at the right time. Katniss Everdeen is a symbol. We don't have to destroy her, just her image. Show them that she is one of us now. Let them rally behind that. They're gonna hate her so much, they might just kill her for you.
Just please, please just help me get through this trip.
This trip doesn't end when you get back home.
So what do we do?
From now on, your job is to be a distraction so people forget what the real problems are.
Chins up, smiles on.
guys. You've given them an opportunity. They just have to be brave enough to take it.
You saved my life. You gave me a chance.
Yes, to live.
No, to do something.
We have to go, Gale, before they kill us.
They will kill us.
Your entire species must be eradicated.
Her species, sir?
The other victors. Because of her, they all pose a threat. Because of her, they all think they're invincible.
All right, now that we've listened to the whole thing, we're going to go through it by a frame, by a spectacular frame. And we are going to be using the copy on YouTube that is on the YouTube username The Hunger Games Movie. So if you want to follow along at home with the exact same video, go ahead and go to that username right now. And let us begin. We open off at 00, hold on, with the beautiful green screen. I think we've commented on it, but I think this is some of Lionsgate's finest work, the preview screen.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's such a, like, vibrant green. It captures the real spirit. I'm just kidding. There's nothing special about that.
You know,
we
you
make
know
that joke
this
every
one,
time.
This one, it doesn't have the film rating on it, so it's more green than usual.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, they did a really good job. We make that joke every time. It never gets old. So, alright. So, 8 seconds in, Lionsgate, and we hear a voice say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the victors of the 74th Hunger Games." And we're back in, District 12, and the aesthetic right away looks fairly consistent with the previous films. Are you guys pleased with that, how the district looks?
Yeah, I mean, it really is almost the exact same set piece.
Yeah.
Very, you know, stone. I mean, the
stone.
Peacekeepers
yeah.
look the same. It has the same drab look, although I think we'll get into the camera work a bit later on.
Definitely, I have things to say about the camera work. But 23 seconds, we see Katniss and Peeta, first shot. Katniss's hair, is it just me, or is it looking a lot darker, like almost black?
It does
yeah,
look
it does.
Really dark.
It
In fact, like I'd say the overall feel of this trailer is
more dark.
A lot darker. And it's, you know,
yes.
tonally dark, emotionally dark, but also just, you know, visually dark. Everything is kind of washed out at this point.
Absolutely agreed. Like, even Peeta's hair, I mean, just looking at Peeta, usually he's kind of bright and sort of cheerful. He's wearing a dark suit, dark shirt, and, you know, his hair kind of, I'm not sure, it kind of looks brownish, like,
right.
it just feels very visually a lot darker. And I do like that, because the first one, I do feel, was kind of bright.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing, like, a little preview of the Hunger Games trailer, or a clip from it on my little YouTube panel, and it's pretty bright. Like, it's not a dark visually film. I mean, obviously, kids killing kids.
Yeah, but
totally
in the first
dark,
movie, you know, you still have, like, the really bright greens of the forest and, you know, all sorts of costumes. But everything here just looks, you know, sort of faded, which I'd say
well,
goes
yeah.
with the theme of the movie.
Well, yeah, it does, because in The Hunger Games, everything was normal in that society, and now it's just, like, going to heck, so it gets darker
yeah.
and darker. I've been mocking Jay's gonna be super dark, too, so...
Oh, yeah.
It's just black, just a huge black screen, that's it.
Pitch black the whole movie. So moving on, we at 27, we see President Snow straight into that. And, hold on, let's see what he's saying.
Okay, now here's something I'm just going to point out. This whole trailer, I read a website called Cracked, and they had an article where they pointed out that this entire trailer can be divided into two colors. Blue and orange. And the moment you realize that, the moment it you can't unsee it. And this is the very
oh
first
my God,
example.
You're so right. I'm
oh,
yeah.
yeah.
And there is a legitimate reason for this. If you look at like half of the Hollywood movie posters, they're blue and orange. And that's because they're on opposite ends of the color spectrum. They fit together nicely. They just look cool together. And so
and there's some symbolism there because, you know, it seems like everything from the Capitol is orange. While the districts are blue.
Right, so that sort of implies the good or bad side, and I guess visual stimuli
wow,
for that. The question is whether or not this is a trailer thing, or if we are going to be seeing this throughout the whole movie.
I hope it's the movie. And it does look like very intentional color coding.
Right.
So I feel like, I think we're going to see that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So 28, we see President Snow talking to Plutarch Heavensby, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And I thought, okay, like, I know he said, like, two words or whatever right in this scene. We're at 36 right now. Yeah, he said, I agree, she should die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that line, we can't even see his face, but it's so well delivered.
Yes, for you listeners who are not as up-to-date with some, you know, Oscar-winning actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman is the man. He appears in so many movies. He won Best Actor for Capote back in 2005, mm-hmm. in which he had probably the strangest voice I've ever heard in a movie, but he did terrific there. And he's doing the same thing here. I mean, you get an A-list actor, you're going to get an A-list performance.
Absolutely. And I you know, I even forgot. I mean, I hate to say that, but I actually almost forgot that he was in the film.
Right.
Because we haven't seen, you know, too many photos of him. I think there was one or two, but, you know, this is our first real look at him, and I'm so excited for that aspect, Plutarch, because he's such a fascinating character.
Right.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman, it's not like he's like, oh, you know, he won an Oscar. Like, he is a very well-respected actor.
Yeah, he keeps appearing in so many movies. So many great mm-hmm. movies. I think recently he was in The Master.
Yep. So, moving on, 38, 39.
We get a nice long shot of Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and something that happened in our hiatus. Jennifer Lawrence winning Best Actress at the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. I knew there was something else to announce in the film and the episode. Yeah, we now have two Oscar-winning actors, which, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's been so long since The Hunger Games that I kind of, like, I had to... It dawned on me a couple days ago how big that is.
Right.
Katniss Everdeen is an Oscar winning.
Yeah, I mean,
not even like that's a huge deal.
Did you see Silver Linings Playbook?
I did, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yes, I recently saw it. Terrific, terrific performance.
Well, she was really good. I didn't like the movie in general, but she was really good in it.
Oh, I like.
Well, that's an argument for a later time.
Yeah, but she was really good, and she deserved the Oscar. So really,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, and it was good to see her in a different role because she's usually, you know, caring older sister, and now she's this crazy psycho.
Well, like, we have to remember that, like, with, like, movies like Twilight and stuff, those people were specific to Twilight, so they were always those characters for, like, 5 years. With, like,
right.
Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson and Liam and everybody, they are all other characters as well as the Hunger Games characters, so we can't, like, think of them as, oh, these people are too big to be in the Hunger Games now, just like... They're just big people
yeah.
in general. So.
I am just so proud of our girl J-Law. And yeah, I will say, when she was first announced as Katniss back in like 2011, I remember looking and I remember going, yeah, she's going to go far. I'm just so proud.
Yeah, when I saw Winter's Bone, I'm like, dang.
And I think I definitely like her better with brown hair.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Anyway, moving on with the trailer, 45 seconds, we see an awesome shot of these, like, trucks driving by with the peacekeepers. And it's very war-esque, like, gearing up for a war.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that shot. Mm-hmm. And at 45, we see Katniss and Peeta in the back of one of those trucks, looking out of a window. What is this scene?
I guess this would probably just be, like, transport? Probably...
Yeah,
when you're in the district, like and it's, you know, being overthrown or there's a riot outside, probably just packing the trucks and leave.
Oh, yeah, they got to keep them, you know, away from the masses, otherwise, you know, they seem to cause trouble everywhere they go.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah. And then in the next shot at 46, we see this great driving shot of the odds are never in our favor, this sort of graffiti in red on the side of a wall. I thought that was really well done, I think.
You know, I have a real thing. This is going to sound weird, but I have a real thing for, like graffiti sprawled on walls, like sort of a protest manner. Something like that.
You have a real thing for, like, you like it?
I think that is something inherently awesome in that. And that adds almost, like, a sort of certain real-world connection to it. Because, you know, you walk somewhere, you find graffiti of, you know, protests and stuff like that. To see it in the futuristic society just kind of draws it and ties it into, you know, what we experience today.
Yeah, it makes the film feel very organic. Like, you know, like, that would be a very real thing that would happen, you know, graffiti. Like, it's like a small touch, but it's a very effective thing to see. So we continue on, and at 50, we see a African-American gentleman raising his three fingers in the salute. And, oh, at 52, you see this amazing shot of the town square where they're in.
Oh, yes. It's such a big shot.
It's such a gorgeous cinematography there, and that, I'm not sure who's doing cinematography on this, but that is well done.
I think we know that director's name Francis Lawrence is directing this movie. He did music videos beforehand. He did I Am Legend, and all those, you know, whether you like I Am Legend or not, whether you like his music videos, they are all very stylistic. They are all very good looking movies.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so no,
I'm expecting gorgeously filmed
with this movie, a lot better cinematography than the last one. I had with The Hunger Games was the shaky cam, and I think things are changing for the better.
Yeah, we'll talk about music and cinematography at the end, but
in this scene, why are the monitors facing towards them instead of towards the crowd?
At 52.
Yeah.
Oh, are those monitors?
Because they look like the screens from the last...
Oh, film. Yeah. Oh, well, you know what they might be? They might be teleprompters.
I was about to say that.
That's so dumb.
Although, yeah, world's largest teleprompters right there.
That's, like, all right. Dumb. Because there's so after also... 52, oh, sorry. Yeah. But there's sorry, also, oh, yeah. like, megaphones on them, so they should be facing the other way. That's bugging me.
Yeah, I don't know what those megaphones are. That doesn't add up.
So. Yeah. Hmm.
Oh, well. So, continuing on, 52. And in 53, we see a shot of the peacekeepers grabbing the man, you know, the guy who started the three-finger thing. And while that detainment is happening of the guy, there's this great exchange with Snow and Heavensby. Heavensby saying, you know, the people might just kill her for you. And there's this dark chuckle from Snow. And I think this is thematically the climax of the trailer. And I'll get into more why the second half, I don't think is as good. But you see, going into 1 minute, 101, 102, you see them about to shoot the man.
Oh, that is, and it's so haunting, that moment.
That is so haunting, and I think it's more haunting than anything we've saw in the previous one concerning...
Yeah, I mean,
you know, like there's two different dramatic cruxes, you know, sort of thematically. There's kind of, you know, the games, and then there's the whole poverty of the capital. And this is, I think, they went bold choosing to show like him like pretty much getting executed.
Yeah, I mean,
not on screen.
You see him being dragged up the stairs. This is this old man who can't defend himself being dragged up the stairs, and you see him about to get shot. And really...
In front of everybody. In front of, like, an entire town.
Exactly. I mean, this is really effective.
I think that was a gutsy choice to put that in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we know the demographic for the Hunger Games, let's face it, Hurley, there's a lot of teenage girls that...
Oh, I know this. It.
But I really, really appreciate it. In this trailer, it doesn't even focus on the love aspect, really, at all. What we're seeing is the rebellion. We're seeing, you know, the cruelty of the capital. This is heavy stuff.
Yeah, no, it's definitely getting more brutal in what we're seeing. And, you know, I think the first one was kind of springboard to this one.
Yeah.
Especially with, I you know, just to say that again, I think it's more of elevating the whole poverty aspect more than the games. Because the games kind of stay where they're at.
Right.
The games are the games. They're sick. They're horrible. But nothing really changes from the first one, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, second one, they really elevate the whole, you know. But so at 106, we see Katniss crying to Haymitch. And hold on.
I like to point out orange color scheme.
Yep. Definitely orange light on them. And I okay, this part actually kind of bothered me. why would Katniss be crying? She's, you know, like...
She just saw an old man get shot.
But she's seen other things happen. She's had to, you know, kill people or whatever.
But
like,
technically it's her fault.
Yeah, I...
That is true. I agree, it's very scarring,
I think I'm going to fall a bit in the middle, where it really isn't in her character, really, to be crying, because she has seen so much death.
Sobbing to Haymitch?
But the thing is, on the other side of this, this is a death that she caused indirectly. This man had nothing to do with her, yet she knows she directly caused his death. It's the difference between her having to kill for her self-preservation versus a death because she said something. She had no way to stop this at all. It wasn't her choice.
Yes, this kind of worries me just a little bit, because I don't want I'm not sure, we haven't seen enough yet, but I don't want Francis Lawrence to be like, alright, Jennifer Lawrence has an amazing acting skill, especially when she's hysterical, right? Like, you've seen Silver Linings, when she gets into it with the, you know, screaming and the crying, it's very effective, but that isn't Katniss.
Right, no.
It's a lot more subtle stuff, and this wasn't... I'm not sure if we're going to see more of that, but if she's crying and sobbing because of this early on, like, to Haymitch no less, like, I thought she, you know, didn't want to cry in front of him, but, you know, just I want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I know a big complaint for the Hunger Games, a lot of people thought that Katniss was too bland, she didn't emote enough. Which, if you've read the book, then it makes perfect sense. But if you're just a moviegoer, then I can see that being a problem, wanting to see more emotion. I mean, like everybody, is for a happy medium between the two. Because, like you said, Silver Linings Playbook, the best part of best part of her performance was her freaking out. That was her best acting. And, you know, maybe you can get some of that in there, but I like the stoic Katniss, because that is who she is.
Right. So moving on to 108, we see a quick shot of Haymitch, as brilliant as usual, with his beard.
Oh yes, and that hair.
And his wig.
I don't know if it's a wig. We discussed
that.
Remember when that was a controversy?
That was because Hurley doesn't want to admit that.
I don't think it's a beard.
Hurley, just because you have no hair doesn't mean.
Anyway. At 1:16, we see a great shot of the camera kind of going out the window and seeing riots in the streets.
Yeah.
And then at 1:18, we see Effie with her great line, chins up, smiles on.
And tonal shift.
What did you guys think of the shot of Katniss and Peeta in their costumes at 1:18?
I'll be honest, I'm not a very costume wardrobe-oriented person. I think that dress looks great on Katniss.
I think the dress looks great. I think it looks like she has a lot of makeup on.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they're keeping sort of with the Cole theme. Although actually those are feathers on her, isn't it? That's the dress, isn't it?
I think that might be.
Maybe. Unlike all the other, you know, I wasn't so into the dresses.
They're probably in like District 1 or something, because it's really, part of the Victory Tour. Fancy compared to District 11's outfit.
True. So moving on from Effie's, you know, one line, the shot at 1:21, does this remind of anybody of Disneyland?
Yes, oh my god.
With the fireworks going up.
Yeah, which kind of makes me smile a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like such a nice little spectacle.
Yeah.
And you got the guy breathing fire. That's just a nice touch. Yeah.
Fun times.
They had fire breathers. So at 1:23, we see Stanley Tucci as Caesar Flickerman on the Victory Tour coverage, and it's great. And his line, "The girl on fire." I'm like, yes.
He is so tan.
It's all the makeup.
He got some sun.
1:25, another shot of Snow holding up drinks, and then at 1:28 is another visually striking shot with, again, it's the blue and the orange. I can't unsee it. It's peacekeepers running towards this fire, and it's this is amazing. Protest scenes, are just, you know, a great thing to watch. I mean, not a great thing to watch, but it's honestly, it's beautifully shot.
Yes,
like,
to use my, you know, awesome film analytical skills, the peacekeepers are usually in white, but they're silhouetted against, you know, the fire burning the orange, and they're turned to the darkness, trying to fight the light, and all of that jazz, which is why I'm doing IB film studies next year.
Excellent. So, at 1:30, we see, another visually striking shot of Gale and Katniss talking in some sort of forest. I guess this is back to District 12.
Oh yeah, Gale is in this movie, isn't he? There's been this is the first time he shows up in this trailer up to this point.
And we're at 1:30 out of 2:30, so we have 1 minute left. So there's that shot, which kind of reminded me of Winter's Bone, to be honest.
The whole movie has kind of the look of Winter's Bone.
Well, I'd say Winter's Bone's way more bare bones than this.
Well, yeah,
this
has got more. But whenever you have a shot of like the districts or whatever, it has the same sort of. I keep using this again, but tone.
Yeah, yeah. So 1:32, another great shot of mine, which would make a great cover photo on Facebook. I just realized it's a protester holding up this parchment sort of thing, with this great red mockingjay on it and the fire behind it. Oh, it's so good.
And do you guys notice that all the peacekeepers are turned towards him with like guns?
Yeah.
Like, oh, these good protest shot.
They're upping the ante with these. And then at 1:34, we see the flag burning. It's just, brilliant.
Yeah, I mean,
it's chills.
I can't wait for the protest scenes. And you know, it kind of makes me sad that this is only going to be half the movie. Like, this isn't going to be the whole thing. You know, when I first read the books, I was just like, all right, move past that. I want to get to the Hunger Games. But, you know, now, right. You know, getting older, it's been a while since, you know, I first started reading The Hunger Games. The rebellion aspect just, it could be its own movie. Why are they dividing Mockingjay? They should divide Catching Fire.
I think that was a thing amongst fans that they should divide this movie instead, but they shouldn't have divided anything. But that's for a different topic. Yep. 1:35, we see Prim and Katniss.
Prim making brief cameo in the trailer.
Brief cameo, yeah. So Prim goes... you know, you gave me a chance, and Katniss says, yes, to live, and she says, no, to do something. And I thought that was a pretty good line.
I guess foreshadowing her medical skills later on?
Yeah, but being her an effective part of the rebellion.
Yep.
And then more shots at 1:40. 1:40 is a weird shot. There's sort of these weird cranes in the background.
Yeah, and they can get into a shanty town. It might even be the Hob, really.
It could be the Hob.
Actually, it is the Hob, because the shot after that is a peacekeeper in the building starting to burn it down.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch these past couple of seconds. So, the burning things, they're running away, and then Shantytown, peacekeeper blowing with the flamethrower, and then Gale and Katniss kiss. So, there is a little bit of a romance aspect. Yes, scandalous.
Of course you have to include that.
All right, so now 1:46, we see Gale starting to get pulled away. Yeah, the text begins with a spark, and the peacekeeper about to shoot Katniss.
And you get to see, you see Gale being whipped. Like, there is a shot of him being whipped, like,
Yeah, like, you know, 1:50, we see him shirt off.
Although I will say, after watching Django Unchained, which... If you're younger than like 16, don't watch it. But if you're older and a film buff, watch it. But there's a scene in Django of somebody getting whipped. Nothing really compares to that. That was a very painful scene. But after seeing that, I can really appreciate the pain in this moment.
Yeah, skin coming off. So that scene with Katniss and Gale and the peacekeeper lasts about 15 seconds. Yep. And at two minutes, we see. The title screen, The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Yep.
So that logo's looking fantastic, the fire coming off.
But before the logo, going back to the scene with the whipping, Katniss goes up and tries to stop the peacekeeper. She gets punched in the face. And then
Is that before the logo?
Yeah, before the logo. She gets punched, and then peacekeeper takes up a gun and just points at her, and she just stands
accepting the punch. Yes, she does get a full-on punch in the face. Which is pretty cool. And the peacekeeper, I think the casting choice, I don't know why, but he looks pretty evil. I like that.
He does look like a bad dude. I'll give him that.
2:05, we get this sort of post-trailer sort of feeling scene.
My god, there are so many post-credit things now, even in trailers. You saw like 30 seconds left.
Yep. So they're hinting at the fact that the Quarter Quell will be, returning victors. But they don't say it, which I really like. Because it is a big surprise in the film when you find that out, but, you know, they're saying we have to punish all the victors. And then at 2:09, we see a great shot of Katniss, Peeta, and Haymitch. And, a shot of at 2:12 we see the shot of Katniss and her eyes look really good. I don't know why that.
Her eyes are really prominent.
Yeah, I don't know why, but at 2:12 we see that, and then moving on, at 2:15 we see November 22nd in theaters and in IMAX. So yeah, then we then we hear the whistle.
Yep, and then you get hashtag spark.
The spark. And then it fades away. All right, that's the trailer. So now we're going to talk about some of the overall general things that we saw. So aesthetic, we kind of talked about that. Makeup and costumes, anybody have anything to say about that?
I mean, once again, I'm not the makeup or costumes person, but what's in the districts looks, you know, downtrodden enough, and what's in the capital looks, you know, fancy enough.
Well, yeah. She had orange makeup on in the scene where she had the fancy schmancy blue dress on.
the victory tour scene?
Yeah.
So we're just going to be saying, we're going to be watching a movie and just going to be like, well, there's orange.
Well,
there's
blue. She had orange eye makeup on and she had orange feathers. Fun fact there.
Yeah. Very good.
I feel like this would be a fun drinking game.
Every time we see orange or blue?
Yeah.
So he's drinking the whole time?
Don't drink.
Well, don't drink.
Drinking water, we mean.
Yes, yeah, drink water, drink stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Good. Half an hour exercise a day. All right. So now I want to talk about something in the trailer that I think we all noticed, and that is the camera work. Now, just to preface, the camera work in the previous film has been widely debated.
Yeah.
On this show, and I've kind of gone back and forth. Sometimes I'm in the mood to appreciate the shaky cam. Sometimes I'm like, this is just a hindrance, this is annoying. But here we don't have to have that conflict because it is a very smooth, fluid camera.
Yes, I agree. And for everybody that said that the shaky cam was part of, you know, the tone of the Hunger Games, I completely understand that. I think it undercut it. And there will probably be people who will watch this trailer and be like, oh, it's too smooth. It's a Hollywood film. But you know what? I really like this camera work here. I know it's just the trailer, but you have... It's definitely handheld, but they got a steady cam. That's the thing. Like, the camera moves. It moves around. You go through windows. You know, you pass by on a train. You see graffiti. It's obviously, you know, shaking a little bit. It's following. But it's not blurring everything so that you can't see it. Everything is visible, but it gives it such a more interactive feel.
Yeah, here's the thing. The camera still breathes, but it's not, like, freaking on a rope dangling around. Like,
exactly. The cameraman isn't, like, jumping up and down like, woo, I'm filming the Hunger Games, woo!
But you still feel really into it because it is, you know, a Steadicam. So, I really enjoyed that piece. Hopefully it holds up in the film.
I'm trying to figure out.
And also I think just overall in general, it just looks better. I'm not sure if it's a different camera or if, you know, if it's being shot on a different film, but it just looks
better,
you know what I'm saying?
And let's see.
Like, I feel like the first one had this sort of grainy thing and that kind of goes on with the aesthetic, but this aesthetic is more sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels sharper, like a sharper image, if you will.
Right.
It's nice.
Very nice. All right. So moving on to music. You know, I also sort of have mixed thoughts. So, well, see, here's the thing. So first half, I'm going to get into this more, but honestly, I should just say this right now. I thought the trailer really took a nosedive at, if you want to know a specific time, 1:45. And here's why. The whole time, until 1:45, we have amazing shots, there's an amazing pace, and at 1:45, not only does the music take this sort of, like, very strict sort of drum beat that almost sounds hip-hoppy, like it's like, dun 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 dun. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
And after that, for 15 seconds, we see this super slow scene that, honestly, I kind of, like, winced at when I saw Katniss just standing there. So, like silently for like seconds, and I'm sorry, but like that kind of derailed the entire mood of the trailer for me, and I think the music had to do with it because the music the entire time, it sounded like the same song as last time. It has to be the same people.
You know, there's like five pieces of music they use in every trailer. Right, there is the set formula for it. And yes, I doubt this is James Newton Howard.
No, it's definitely not James Newton Howard. This is, I remember last time we found out that the trailer music was by these other people, Zero Killed something, but it has to be the same people, because it's so similar, which I didn't mind. Like, I noticed that straight off the bat. Okay, this is super similar. But then at 1:45, everything just kind of, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
am I the only one who thinks that? And that's fine, like, but at least when I first saw it, and even when I still, like, the first half is just so well-paced. It's so fast. Every single shot that they put up there is just really well.
Yeah,
really good.
When you mention it, now that I'm paying attention, you have a point. It does, in the first half of it, you sort of jumped from, like, different scene to different scene to different scene. You had a good pace of energy. And then for the last, I guess, 30 seconds, it just sticks with the one scene.
Yeah, which usually, a lot of trailers do that, but they do it with a better scene. Or, like, better shots. Because, like, Gale whipping, yeah, that would have been good, but we saw him get whipped once, and the rest was just kind of standing around.
Right, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I don't think completely derails the trailer. I think it might be that music is kicking up and becoming more epic, when really it doesn't get too much more exciting.
Yeah, that's probably part of it, too. The music gets all faster and cooler, and then the shots get slower.
Yeah, so. No, that definitely creates sort of a feeling of,
What? But, April, what do you think of the music?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to it. I mean, It's trailer music. I don't usually listen that well on OZ. It's really action-y.
Mm-hmm.
Or it creates the action-y, I guess. But it was nice. It did its job.
It did do. It was nice little electronic, like, la, 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 la. Sorry, yeah. April, do you think that this will interest non-fans? Pretend you knew nothing about The Hunger Games. You heard that it was coming out. Pretend that. Would you be interested in this film?
Okay, well, there are two different sides of the coin to that question.
Interesting.
Because you can look at it and say, wow, that's really violent. That's probably really terrible. And then you can look at it and say, wow, that's really violent. That may be really cool. So,
But would you, like, understand what is happening? Not at all, right?
No.
Which was what I was thinking, which at this point, I don't think they really care because there's so much hype.
Yeah.
That you're gonna want to figure it out. But if I was just, like, in the theater and I saw that, I'd just be like, who is Katniss? What are the Hunger Games? Like, at least in the first one, they spent, the first trailer, you know, they could spend a little time saying, you know, one man and one woman from each, you know, district, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This one, there is absolutely nothing. Like, this is, I'm not even thinking it's a bad thing, though, because it's so big. But it is a sequel, and it isn't kind of in that weird gray area where they don't have time to explain themselves, even though it's such an interesting concept. Mm.
This trailer's where, you know enough about it, it looks cool, but doesn't have that thing that, like, really drags you into it. Like, oh my god, I have to see it. There isn't really one element where you're like, oh, this is what it's going to be. Because it doesn't, it sort of hints at the Quarter Quell, and maybe this is why it's a teaser trailer, because it doesn't really go into the whole plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, maybe they'll get into it more with more specific lines.
I guess,
but
there isn't really a hook to it for non-fans.
I would agree with that, and I think the problem is it's because it is so high concept.
Right.
If somebody says what's The Hunger Games about, you would have to, like, you know, take a second and explain. But, like, Iron Man, he flies around in a suit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that'll be a challenge for the trailer people to get across with the next one, but. Yes, I think that kind of wraps it up. I mean, the last thing we can talk about, does it give away too much? I think it gave away just the right amount for a teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't show the arena, which the previous trailers for the first movie did not do, and I think that worked really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any other final thoughts before we get into some emails?
I've got to say, in the time between The Hunger Games up to this point, I was starting to sort of lose a bit of that excitement for Catching Fire. But this trailer has kind of, re-excited me.
Yeah, and reminder, the movie has like 6 months to come out, half a year.
I mean, yeah.
There's still plenty of time for more trailers, more posters, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So now let's get into some emails. April, do you want to read the first email, which is a trailer response from Adele?
Sure. So let's see. Adele says, so I watched the Catching Fire trailer premiere at the MTV Movie Awards last night, and I have thoughts. First, the costumes are beautiful. I cannot wait to see more of them. Second, I really am enjoying the cinematography of this movie, much more than the last. Although it doesn't scream gritty, it doesn't quite scream blockbuster.
Boom, you nailed it, Adele.
Exactly.
Moving on. The crescendo of intensity in the scene in District 11 is gorgeous. It creates that edge of your seat feel. And honestly, after the scene, it loses me. I just don't really care anymore, and I don't really feel any emotion because it's not catching enough. It doesn't grab my attention with another big scene. In fact, it changes tone. But then it starts to crescendo again and stick with the intensity to the end. The score sounds fabulous, and I hope this is how the score is in the movie. Maybe a little less powerful to keep with the style of the first film. The acting is right on par, and I can't wait to see it full out. Keep on rebelling, Adele.
Thank you, Adele, very much. I totally agree with the tonal shift, but, you know... Alright, everybody, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com for all your show needs. Comment and discuss on our show posts. Find links to our iTunes and Tumblr. And, of course, stay updated to our Facebook and Twitter, both at /RRPodcast. And, of course, contact us for anything at all. Email us at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. If you want to find the best way to support us, it would be an iTunes review. Write one up. And leave that on iTunes, and that will greatly help us get up on the charts. And yeah, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. We post stuff there. It's a good time. Thank you all very much for listening. My name is Willie Commons.
I'm Alex Bulova.
And I'm Ava Crisanti.
Fight the capital and the hunger. Join the rebellion.
Do you know where the muffins go? They go along to take your honey. Way down how we build our breakfast down and say my love, love, love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Alex, you want to read the next email from Kato Wookie Jake?
Sure. So, from Kato Wookie Jake, they asked us a very good question, and that is, how did you guys meet?
Ooh, this is a good story.
This is an awesome story.
April started off. So, April, why don't you
start off with your story? Well, it started, when was it, 2009 or 2008? When there was a little podcast called Demigods Live.
Ah, those are the days.
Which I'm sure most of you know us from. And
I like to think a lot of our listeners are original, but...
Let's hope so. The two hosts, Tyler and Kelsey, were having a contest to get a couple new hosts, and me and this other girl, who was not on the podcast, on this one, were chosen. Yay! And then, after a while, we realized that the four of us were not going to be able to keep up, in a way. So, Tyler and Kelsey brought on the runners-up, which was Elena and this other girl, who eventually disappeared on us.
Disappeared off the face of the planet.
And then Hurley came here. I don't even know how he got here. I don't know where he came from.
Well, yeah, did you come from, Hurley?
So, well, actually, Alex...
Like, all Tyler told us was that he knew a guy who was going to do a Greek mythology segment, and then you never did it and never podcast with us.
Here's what happened. So, well, first of all, Tyler and Kelsey were on the show, and Alex was part of it, and everyone was part of it, and I was a transcriber, right, for Demigods Live, which we don't do transcriptions for Rebellion Radio because they're just not really worth it, I thought, but I was doing transcriptions super into Percy Jackson, and I sent a really, really well-done email. I just went into detail about something, and then he kind of like, wow, he actually replied, and he's like, wow, thank you for the email. And then I sent an email later that says, hey, you guys should get a guy host. And I really, really wanted to be on the show. And I kind of hinted at it. I'm like, you guys really should have a guy host. There's only two, and there's like five girls. And he goes, would you be interested? I'm like, heck yeah, I'd be interested. So we talked on Skype, and I told him all these ideas, and he's like, wow, you're awesome. And then we kind of... what happened. Oh yeah,
you
I went.
Never actually podcast with us, like, at all.
Yes. Well, see, I went to India for the summer, and I was gone for 2 months, so I couldn't record at all. And that was just awful, because I got hired at the beginning of the summer, and I left, and it sucked. And then what happened was I came back from summer. Me, Tyler, and Kelsey recorded one episode. I was on one episode of Demigods Live. And then the show kind of went to all... It just went down the toilet.
It was left to Elena. Because Elena kept bugging Tyler about it, so Tyler was just like, why don't you guys do it? Fun fact, the reason that happened was because me and Elena were supposed to record with Tyler one night, and I'm 3 hours ahead of her and Tyler. So he goes, okay, I have a party. Can we do it at 10 p.m. Eastern time? And we were like, sure, whatever. It was like a Thursday night or whatever, or Friday night. And, like, me and Elena are waiting, and we're waiting, and we're talking. And then she texts him and is like, hey, are you coming? And he's like, oh, give me a few, like, give me, like, 2 more hours. So we waited, and it was, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, my time.
I'd like to point out, Tyler, if you're listening, we still love you.
Oh, no, of course.
But then he texted Elena and was like, sorry, I can't do it. Why don't you guys just record by yourselves? So we did, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning over here. And it was the craziest episode because it was just me giggling the entire time because I was
so tired. We weren't that seasoned back then.
But yeah, that was the first episode where Elena finally hosted and where everybody else just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, so then after that, we kind of did Demigods Live for a while, and we just kind of became uninterested with Percy Jackson.
Well, before
and then
that, we got
Hunger
Alex.
Games.
Alex?
Wait, was Alex after
actually,
that?
I no, can explain Alex, how I got into this show.
I asked you, because we were looking for a guy, so, for Demigods Live, and we
What happened for me is that I was a big Demigods Live fan from the beginning. Listened to all the podcasts. I loved every second of it. I remember I freaked out so much when they read a letter of mine on the show.
I remember that letter too.
Proud of myself. And then one day, I get an email saying that, you know, you're a big fan and we want to see if you'd like to actually be a host with us. We're going to have an audition.
Was that Elena? Was that Elena?
I think it was Elena. So I freaked out a bit about that. I went to audition and we did a mock podcast where we went through one of the older scripts. And I was like, me and 4 other people. And I will say that I did a fantastic job. And obviously, as you can hear today, I got the part. I remember I found out on Thanksgiving that I got on the gig as a podcaster. And I actually screamed a giant, woo! Like, just in my house. And everybody's like, Alex, what happened? I'm like, I'm a podcaster now.
Yeah.
And so then I got onto Demigods Live, and then now I'm on Rebellion Radio because, hey, new podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. Demigods Live was how we all became friends, and then
the Hunger Games became more popular.
And then Hunger Games happened, and then Demigods Live was already kind of falling off the, you know, it kind of derailed a little bit.
Yeah.
But the only people who have actually met in real life are me and Alex.
Yep, we actually met at Universal Studios.
Yeah,
it was by complete happenstance, but we realized we were there at the same time. And so I was standing in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter with a sign that said April on it. And I was waiting at the train station. And after waiting for about 5 minutes,
so
I looked down and I see a girl like sitting about like 5 feet away on the steps. And she looks awfully familiar. And so I go, April? And you turn like, oh!
I literally sat down next
to
her and
didn't
realize it.
Yeah.
Because I was calling you, but you wouldn't answer your phone. So me and my mom were just like, let's just wait here for a while and see if he calls back. And you just kind of were standing next to me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's
okay.
That's hilarious.
Because, you know, we recognize each other.
I've never met anybody.
Elena
hasn't met anybody.
You know, I almost got to take my trip to the West Coast. I'll make sure I find you, and we'll get coffee somewhere and watch a movie.
Wait, West Coast isn't... You're going to go to Washington?
I mean, I have relatives in Washington. I could probably do that.
We should totally meet up.
When I get a chance, yeah.
Oh my god.
So close to meeting Elena in March, because I went to California, and I was like, yo, you want to meet up? And she was like, yeah. And then she's like, I have to babysit. And I was like, okay.
Fine.
I was there. I was only there.
Your parents won't let you babysit with that girl that you only know from the internet. I mean, really, no trust in this world.
Well, we were gonna meet at like the mall or something, but then I was like, "How long does it take you to get to LA?" And she's like, "Not that long." And I was like, "Cool. Why don't you come down and meet me? Because I'm only here for like 3 days." And she was like, "Okay." And then the day of, I think the day before, she texted me and was like, "Oh man, I gotta babysit." And I was like, "Oh."
Yeah. So yes, so that is the long and illustrious story of how we all met and became Rebellion Radio.
And best friends.
Best buddies.
Obviously.
Yep, I have no other friends outside of this. This is the only social interaction I get.
Me too.
But yeah, if you're interested, I don't think we've fully shared. I mean, I feel like we've said bits and pieces, but
yeah, if you want to hear
that's
more,
the story.
You can like tell us, maybe we'll do a segment or something. I don't know. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Rebellion Radio. Well, that was like a summer. I remember me and Alex were talking about it. Yep. Recorded the first episode.
Yep, we recorded it on our own because you guys weren't available.
No, because you guys couldn't tell us.
Oh, that is true. That was our fault.
Okay, wait. All of a sudden, me and Elaine are ready to record the episode. The first episode is what we're thinking. And they're like, okay, we recorded the first episode like a week ago. So we're releasing that. And this will just be the second one. And we're like, what?
I remember breaking that to you guys. I felt so bad. But like, I remember like April and Elaine were like, had all these like, oh, we can't do this and we can't do that and the show's not gonna work out, and I'm like,
yeah,
no.
I was really, okay, fun fact, I was really against Rebellion Radio at first because I didn't think it was gonna last in terms of Hunger Games, because you don't know how long that's gonna last. So I was like, this is gonna be hard, but you know, here we are.
It's easier than Percy Jackson.
That's
made the top 10 on iTunes, so I think that's pretty
good
accomplishment.
Yes, that's
great. All right, I'm putting the segment at the end, by the way, because this went pretty long, but it's still interesting.
And I've got to go in about 5 minutes, so let's wrap this up.
Fight the capital and the hunger. Join the rebellion.
Yow! And stop recording.
All right, stop.